Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for August 31st, 2009, and on this week's episode, Benno Nelson covers interning at theaters here in Chicago. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready and let's talk theater.
Welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago. I'm your host this week, Benno Nelson, and today we're going to talk about interns in the arts and specifically theater. So joining me for this conversation on my left is Kirsten Fitzgerald. Hi, Kirsten.
Hello, Benno.
The artistic director of A Red Orchid Theater, and Josh Sobel. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
And Josh is a new intern here at A Red Orchid. And to my right, I have Jason Girace, the artistic associate at American Theater Company.
Hello.
Well, welcome, all of you. So what we want to talk about today is interns in general. And I really just want to start it out as broadly as possible. And I'll start with you, Jason. What is an intern? And even more importantly, what is an intern for, in your mind?
Well, I guess an intern is someone who works at your theater for a definite period of time. Mm-hmm. And generally, at least at American Theater Company, on a specific project or in a specific area. Mm-hmm. Usually there is sort of an educational focus or mm-hmm. component to the work they're doing. At least at ATC, we try to really gear what the intern is working on towards what they're specifically interested in learning and knowing more about. And so we try to gear the project or task or whatever it is that they have towards, you know, specific things that they have expressed. I mean, we try and make them customized, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, in the world of theater, generally, they are unpaid positions.
Yeah.
I think within the broad scope of the word intern, there's a lot of different implications. But I think in theater, I think most of the time... you know, it's sort of an exchange of experience for for labor.
Great. Josh, as an intern, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I think that sums it up pretty well. I mean, I know for me, you know, kind of just entering the realm of internships, you know, just graduated from school and entering this world, it's a great way to learn and just get hands-on experience. Mm-hmm. You know, at an entry-level sort of way, but really see how a theater company of any size works from the inside out and find out how it all comes together and how theater is made on this level. And I think that it's education through experience, which I think is the ultimate value for it.
The thing that I guess I would add to that, not only is it education through experience, but for small theater companies with limited but financial resources, it is... As we said earlier, an exchange of experience for manpower or for, you know, tasks. We, you know, there are things that we could not and would not have accomplished over the last many years without an intern being willing to try their hand at it.
Yeah, yeah. Full disclosure, I myself was a marketing intern at Red Orchid Theater over the summer. And I wonder if the two of you could speak to, Kirsten and Jason, speak to... in this really rapidly changing marketplace, there are some things people talk about the youngins' sort of fluency in like social media and stuff like that. Do you find that an intern is in some ways better? I'm not trying to feed you an answer, but is an intern can even like fill that position better than say a paid person or a marketing executive?
I think yes, specifically. To me, I think it would be a kind of a ear to the ground kind of a kind of a thing, you know, just sort of it's more integrated in their life. And, you know, I've just been at a graduate school for 2 years and I'm not an old guy, but
God knows.
But, you know, if you're 23 and you've had an email account since you're 8, that's a lot different than if you're my age and you didn't have an email account until your freshman year of college.
Right.
Because they basically didn't exist until a couple of years before that. You know, it's just sort of more in all the way integrated into the fabric of your life, the way you even think about things.
Yep.
So, yeah, I do. I mean, I think everybody is getting fairly savvy. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I probably get 2 to 3 event invitations on Facebook per day.
Sure, yeah. From theaters specifically.
Yeah, and colleagues and, you know, et cetera. And so I think, it's getting more and more important and people are getting savvy because of that. But yeah, I do. I think, yeah, it's sort of a finger on the pulse kind of a thing.
Well, and we certainly experienced that here. We were doing very little social, you know, media marketing and it's, you know, it's not something that I am all that familiar with. I certainly have a Facebook page and I use it and but I don't, you know, it's one of those things that I check a couple times a week as opposed to several times a day.
Right.
And so, as you said, it's not part of the fabric of my life as it is for a lot of younger people. Mm-hmm. So that's been a tremendous bonus for us is finding out what the interns coming in, the young people coming in are really good at and excited about. And then, you know, stealing from them or, you know, stealing their knowledge, which is, you know, I guess people say theater is stealing sometimes, you know, but absolutely that's, you know, put their best skills to best use.
Josh, I want to focus on you for a second. Okay. Just having come out of college, at Oberlin, just give a little plug
Oberlin
to the old alma mater. Do you want to sing the song?
We had to learn the song for commencement. It's an awful song. Love the school. Awful song. Rather forget it.
Okay. All right. I'll let you do that. So is there something specific that you're hoping to get on? What are your career goals even? I think we can talk about that. Your boss is right here, so no pressure.
Well, there you go. I am definitely guilty in what was stated earlier that I am very interested in one day, you know, starting a theater company. Mm-hmm. I actually came here with a couple friends of mine from Oberlin who we all kind of have very similar tastes in theater, very similar missions in what we want to do. And that's kind of something that we're toying with, playing around with overall. Primarily, I want to direct theater. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my ultimate goal in any way I can, whether it is part of my own company or finding work as a freelancer. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for me, such a huge part of that is, you know, a certain part of directing for me is producing as well, mm-hmm. and organizing logistics and making sure everything's kind of set up. And that's really kind of the value I see, especially in this internship and similar internships that are available at American Theatre Company and elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's the skills that are really fostered on a professional level that you can then bring, that I know I will be able to bring to shows that I am able to direct in the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows, a company I might run in the future. So that's really kind of what I'm looking to make for my life and how this is all feeding into it.
Was there, I imagine that you applied for several or were looking around for a while for internships that fit. Were there certain things that you were looking for? Specifically, I think, whether they were paying or not, was that a factor?
Yeah, I mean, that was absolutely a factor. You know, coming into the arena, I knew that most likely an internship I would find would be unpaid. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an understood given circumstance, as it were. So that wasn't, I mean, it would be, it, I was looking for things that would provide some compensation, but that really, it's not what it's about for me. So, mm-hmm. I looked for things that also just, you know, in terms of schedule, uh-huh. would allow me, you know, as someone who just got here a couple weeks ago, you know, get some part-time work, be able to pay the bills. But it wasn't about getting paid. It was about finding a company or a group of companies that I can, you know, talk to, get involved with, attend shows and just constantly be present in the Chicago community, paid or unpaid, just to start making my way and forming relationships and drinking it all in.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
When you were looking around, did you target mid-sized theaters over larger theaters or was it sort of whatever's out there?
I applied to both. Honestly, that wasn't a big factor for me, whether it was a paying internship, whether it was like a big company as opposed to a mid-size or storefront. I just wanted to find companies. I targeted companies that provided the experience I was looking for, and also, you know, had a, I did some digging and looked for companies that had a history of doing work I was interested in, and working in kind of spaces I was interested in, and aesthetic styles and production, you know, setups and organization that I felt I would fit in well or fit my personality. That was much more important to me, because I feel like that's a lot of it for me is about, again, forming these connections, making relationships. And I think that that is something that transcends, you know, the size of theater.
Jason, you're involved in the hiring and sort of first line of defense and bringing interns into ATC. I'm curious if the two of you were ever interns.
I was never technically an intern. I sort of consider some of my, when I was in college, I did, in order to get by and pay the rent and whatnot, I managed to pick up a job, a very part-time job that didn't pay very much, but it allowed me to have in-state tuition in the university's costume shop. So I, you know, cut and stitched for 4 years. And then coming out between college and grad school, I jumped into the box office over at Steppenwolf and you know, mm-hmm. sort of really definitely saw that as a bit of an internship. You know, just being in the theater, you know, I was sort of bound and determined in whatever, in some way to make my living in the theater. And, even though acting was my main focus, I, you know, you try it all. That's part of what college and internships are about, is you may be surprised by some area that excites you.
Yeah, that's great.
So
I did not do an internship coming out of undergrad, but I wish I had. And I really strongly encourage the students I know, especially the performers, mm-hmm. to try and go and do a performance internship, because I think mm-hmm. it makes such a huge difference to move to a place like Chicago with 9 months of experience at a professional theater and 4 professional credits on your resume, mm-hmm. sure. then everything on there is at my college's university theater.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it makes a tremendous, tremendous difference. And it's all around good. I started at ATC as an intern.
There you go.
I applied there right after I moved here and started a couple months after I moved here. I started there as an intern. And I sort of got promoted out of my internship after a couple months, but that was my entry into theater.
That's wonderful.
Sure. Yeah. And we have a similar, our box office manager is one of our former interns.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a great way to get in there.
Do you find that there, Jason specifically recommending internships, do you find that there are common gaps in theater program sort of education? Or is it really just on the ground experience?
Oh, I don't think there's a general answer to that question.
Okay.
I think every school and every training program is so different from each other. Mm-hmm, and they all have strengths and weaknesses, and there's huge advantages to going to a training program in a city like Chicago.
Sure.
Surrounded by theater. Mm-hmm. There's also huge advantages to going to a smaller school or a smaller department where you're much more intimate with your professors and mm-hmm. you get a lot more stage time and all of those things. And it, I mean, the most important thing to me is picking the program that's right for you. But coming out, you know, some schools do a tremendous job of walking their students out of college and into the profession, and some sort of cut them loose. Mm-hmm. And some people can handle that and some people can't, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like there's a broad answer to that.
I guess, I guess adding to that, it varies drastically, especially also in depending on the area of theater or uh-huh. arts probably that you want to go into. I think, you know, when I was in school, all of my training is performance-based, but when I was in school, there wasn't really much involved in any programs in terms of arts administration. There mm-hmm. there really weren't, you know, so there are a lot of new schools out there that there are programs that have added arts administration majors and whatnot. But getting that experience is tremendous. You know, I have lots of friends, and you see it here in Chicago all the time, who finish school and say, well, we're going to, much like you were talking about, we're going to get together with these people who have like minded ideas and aesthetics, and we're going to start a theater company. We're just going to start producing
it's like
shows.
The Chicago story.
And that's, you know, that's where Red Orchid came from. I know that's, you know, originally where ATC or American Blues started. And that's, you know, that's the reality of how a lot of theater companies, including Steppenwolf, got going in terms of the ensemble based stuff. And, you do get to a point and, where you've still got artists trying to run the administration, and it's hard. There's so many details I never even imagined. And and one of the things that we do struggle with is we can only bring on a certain number of interns and really have tasks to hand them based on the limited availability of supervision, you know, working with a part-time general manager and a volunteer, you know, sometimes part-time, sometimes full-time artistic director.
Yeah.
We do have some limitations there, and I think I'm sure other theaters experience that as well. Mm-hmm. So
that's the balancing act.
Yeah,
is the, you know, there's great assets, great abilities that come with having interns, but then, you know, you're taking on responsibility and committing time and energy and assets to that as well. So
yeah,
that's the balancing act. And yeah, I mean, yeah, there are things that would not happen at our theater, as many others, if we didn't have interns.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have to be able to commit to making sure that that intern's having a quality experience,
right,
and that they have enough supervision and enough task.
Yeah, I mean, I think technically, to be the sort of governmental definition of intern that sort of allows people to be able to work for free for so long is that sort of educational aspect of it, that that's
absolutely
the sort of loophole that they're falling into. That's true in the equity rules as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you manage making a point of that education? Is it, do you sort of just assume, oh, by doing this, you are learning something? Or do you try to sort of spoon feed a kind of curriculum?
I think there's a little bit of both. I mean, a little bit of probably all of those things. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, I've had interns who were, you know, reading plays for us who, you know, once a week we sat down and discussed what they had, you know, read and why maybe it was not appropriate for a Red Orchid and why. Well, you know, so learning some of that balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, you know, like you, Benna, we were able to work very independently. But mm-hmm. one of the things that was really nice is we have tight quarters here and we sat in this office together. So anytime, you know, we were able to, you know, sitting in the same room, bounce ideas back and forth and say, yes, go do it. You know, I had no idea we could even do that. Try it. And let's, you know, so some of it absolutely is just education by doing.
Yeah.
Try it.
I mean, for us, yeah, that's most of it. And,
yeah.
But the way we handle that, I guess, in terms of curriculum, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. is by setting specific goals. And
there you go.
At the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and agreeing on this is what you're going to work on, this is what we want you to learn,
mm.
and targeting what their day to day is.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, it's one specific project or one specific program,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's very. I think the great thing about an internship at a medium sized company is that you'll get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And,
yeah,
and, you know, generally speaking, nobody has time to hold your hand. So,
right.
You know, they're going to kind of say, have the first meeting with you and then say, off you go. And
yeah.
Check in with me once a week. You know, we'll know if things stop happening.
Yeah. Right.
What's
that? And I mean, something isn't working.
And at least I know for me and for, you know, I can only speak for myself and the two guys I'm coming to Chicago with, that's kind of what we want. That's what we're looking for. That is the value for us. We want to get our hands dirty.
Yeah.
So
do you also, I mean, I think Jason's story is valid and my experience, I was also an intern at the Northlight. I hope they don't mind me saying, last fall, and I used that to sort of weedle my way into different positions over the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, do you want a job here?
I mean, honestly, yes. So I guess I can let Kirsten know that now.
But, I mean, we all want jobs, obviously.
No, but yeah, I really do like, I mean, specifically looking at Red Orchid, I would love that, yeah.
So. Yeah, and I think even just, I'm sort of saying, like, the narrative of I'm going to start as an intern and, like, work my way up. What's interesting to me almost is, like, the way that internships have replaced the mailroom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that narrative part of what like inspires you to be?
I mean, yeah, I feel like there is that. It's a little bit storybook, you know, the whole like climbing the ladder, you know,
yeah.
working your way up. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a goal of mine, absolutely, for, you know, whatever company now, Red Orchid, and I love Red Orchid's mission. I love, you know, the aesthetic there, but also, you know, looking at someplace like ATC that I've been talking to Jason about and other things. I think, yeah, to be able to, you know, start in there and then, you know, work my way up and, you know, gain both, you know, more experience and more responsibilities along the way. I think that's absolutely a goal of mine. And I, you know, just to be a part, to work my way up in the Chicago mm-hmm. theater world, it's forming relationships, making connections and getting in the door on any level. And who knows where that could lead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all relationships, especially in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Something that I think I want to sort of push a little bit is the idea of payment with interns. There is sort of talk in, you know, fancy pants sort of ethical circles about the idea of this free interning that everyone is taking advantage of. And I don't know really any interns that are feeling like exploited by it or anything like that. But it is, it's sort of creating a culture where the one where people who don't need to work for a living are more likely to get an internship, more likely to get their foot in the door. And secondly, that the entry-level positions are falling away because they can be replaced with this sort of free labor. And I do think everything still holds. All these interns are getting a lot for what they're doing, but do you have sort of, we'll start with just, do you have any opinions on that sort of ethical question? And then I think we can specify it as we go on.
I guess where it becomes an ethical question is if there are big profits being made by the theater company or by the arts organization. Which
so there's no fear of that.
It's not really something we, I mean, you know, in my ideal world, absolutely. Interns, anybody should be I'd love to be able to pay someone, mm-hmm. even a stipend, even a, you know, and, you know, and
pay for your L.
What's that?
To pay for the train.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. To pay, yeah. Give you enough for transportation, that kind of thing, you know? I would love to be able to do that. The reality for us right now is that certainly we can't. Right. And so we do depend on, you know, the kindness of volunteers and interns a lot.
Yeah.
And I hope that they're feeling like they're getting something out of this, walking out the door as well. You know, I can pay them in, free tickets
nice.
To shows and, you know, great referrals and some fun parties and, you know, that kind of thing.
It's tough. I mean, the choice is, have interns or these programs will not exist.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the choice.
Yeah.
And that's the choice for the theater and the funders.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and it's that cut and dry.
Yeah.
You know, these four or five programs we cannot do them without interns because that's just it. I mean, the other part of it is, and this is something where that connects to me more personally is you can go into many, many professional productions in Chicago, very high up the ladder. The only person in the room not being paid is the assistant director.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nobody's like beating the drum for the assistant director. So you know what I mean?
We can do that later.
But I mean like very, very high up the ladder in Chicago. The only person working on the production not paid will be the AD. That's just the reality of it. And, you know, there's not like a big lack of assistant directors, you know what I mean? There's still people fighting each other, crawling over each other for these positions.
Right.
It's because they're valuable.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, relationships,
especially
in a town like this. I just think, you know, somebody has to vouch for you. And the only way they're going to do that is if they know you. And the only way for them to know you is for you to work with them.
Yeah. Well, I think you touched on an interesting point. I'm part of the reason that you can not pay is because everyone wants them.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. It does sort of self-select for that.
It does, but there's real value to it.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I mean? It is an exchange for something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this may be opening up a can of worms, but...
Open it.
I mean, ADing means really different things in different cases.
Oh,
listen, you can assist and direct for the same director on two different productions and it will mean at the same theater and it will mean two different things. It's never the same experience twice. So it's actually, just some of my recent experiences. I've been thinking about it recently, but there are times when having an assistant director is a charitable act for a professional director.
Yes.
Other times when an assistant director brings immense value to the production and makes great artistic contributions to a production. Sure. There's no set of rules to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the end, it's just this particular arrangement, this particular relationship, and the commerce of that mm-hmm. is what it is.
Yeah. So then I wonder, I mean, to sort of play devil's advocate, if you really do want to start paying interns, because on some level, having them not be paid is working. It is selecting people like Josh who are dedicated to doing it, who are willing to get a second job mm-hmm. to sort of take the sort of class warfare out of the equation. And that is in some way sort of rewarding as an institution. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. You want those dedicated people, and paying would, in addition to maybe cutting programming and stuff like that, would affect that vivacity.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a trade-off. You ensure that you've got people walking in the door that are really enthusiastic and, as you said, dedicated. I suppose if whether that's a bigger incentive or whether a paycheck is a bigger incentive is a good question. And probably there's a different answer for every person. One of the other big, I'll open a whole nother big can of worms sort of on this subject in that, actors, certainly at the top, at the big theaters here in the city are being paid. But for most of our lives, we're pretty willing to do things for free or cheap. And because of the experience, because we really want to work with that director, or because we really want to do that play, or because, that kind of thing. And so it's interesting. It's a weird world. And I struggle with it as a performer, but also as an artistic director, that everybody who walks in the store, their contributions have a tremendous amount of value. And I fear sometimes by not being able to pay someone that I'm not letting them know how much I value their contributions. Mm-hmm. And similarly, it's the same reason I will almost never ask an intern to, sweep the floor, take the trash out, and clean the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that that our ensemble will do, or that if there's a day when it's when we desperately need it, we'll all do it together. me and the interns, kind of thing.
I think that's an important point, actually. I mean that. I think there may be an ethical line somewhere in the area of asking someone to do something that you wouldn't do.
Yes.
Or that you don't want to do.
I totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, at ATC, we have a dedicated time at the end of our weekly staff meeting where we divide up the tasks of keeping the building running, which includes cleaning the bathrooms and the toilets and taking out the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it together. And it's a rotating set of assignments. There's this many people, there's this many jobs, and we just each take turns. So I think that's okay because we're all doing it.
Yeah.
And that's executive director, artistic director, all the way down to interns. And it's just rotating. That is a completely different thing than, welcome to ATC. Here's your job, and also you have the bathrooms to clean.
Totally
different things. So there's something to that. That's a balance.
Yeah. I want to mind two things that you said, Kirsten. The first is that talking about sort of feeling bad about not being able to pay. It's interesting, and if you're just blushing, we can move along. But like that, if part of the commercial sort of value, the sort of the exchange that's going on between an intern and an institution,
mm-hmm.
is the relationships that they're building, as an established actress, Jeff nominated this year.
Thank you.
Do you, is it weird that that relationship is with you? You're commoditizing your friendship.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, I was really, when I first stepped into the artistic director position a year and a half ago, I struggled with that just sort of socially and in my relationships and in places that I went, because suddenly my conversations with people, you know, at weddings, at bars, everywhere else, were only about Red Orchid Theater.
Wow.
And how someone might be able to come work with us. And yeah. Or, I mean, even my close friends, you know, and some of that was just because, you know, I had to leave work, as everybody does some days, and vent. And some of that was because people are, you know, really interested and that, you know, Red Orchid built a reputation for itself, you know, long before me, that was really, you know, something to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I am only really, just after being an artistic director for a year and a half, only really just getting comfortable with the idea that maybe I'm actually an authority on something, or maybe maybe people want to know what I think, or even as a teacher, I see that whole, you know, like the semester as a process and we're learning from each other and all of that stuff. But that was absolutely an odd adjustment, and I think a constant one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just clarify something, though. I mean, I don't think that the exchange is I'm going to have a relationship with you in exchange for your labor.
I
think you're right.
You know, I think that it's really important that it's you're here to do these tasks in order to learn these things.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And the relationship is a byproduct
Absolutely.
Of the work.
Yeah, I think that's true too. You know, and really, it's the opportunity to do those tasks
yes.
in general.
And, the, you know, the relationships that different interns leave individual theaters with at the end of their experiences are not all the same.
Oh, no.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
very different.
And I mean, that's sort of something that you have the opportunity to earn.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing that you both have touched on, Jason and Kirsten, is that professionals, that term that we use, a lot of them don't get paid. And a lot of kids that are an intern at like a big company, the next thing they do is assistant direct or direct a show for a tiny storefront, non-act storefront, and aren't making anything still. My dad has a joke that musicians will do anything for money and actors will do anything for free. So how does that feel? I mean, do you feel like, in some sense, as a theater artist, are you a perpetual intern of some sort of the city or of the art?
It's a struggle. I mean, I think another factor in that is that there's a culture of giving away tickets within theater to theater, artist to artist. And does that inherently devalue our work if we do that?
That's a great point.
The answer is yes. But that's the culture. And so, and what if not doing that means no artists in Chicago can see your show?
Yeah.
I mean, so then how do you balance that?
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy. I mean, I think the bottom line is you don't go into this for money.
Yeah.
This is art. Mm-hmm. And art is not, right now in this country, in this century, it's not a way to make riches.
And you do every couple of years, for some people, maybe every couple of months, have that internal struggle. I mean, I do, I know everybody I know in business does, of, you know what? I'm worth it, damn it. Somebody
yes.
needs to pay me. I need to go work here for a little while so that then I can feel, I guess, better about, you know, I need to get paid occasionally.
Yeah.
Sometimes to get to, I don't know what it is. You know, I if you ask me the same question next week, I probably will have a different answer.
I've always wondered that about.
It's a constant balancing act.
Yeah, it is. And I've always wondered that about actors, not being one anymore myself. How much sort of deliberate decision making is there in I'm going to do this show because I really want to do it. I'm going to do this show that maybe I'm not that proud of, but it's a 9-month contract and it'll be the most money I've ever made and I can take care of my baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and very difficult choices.
Yeah,
very
really hard choices, and choices that are the reality. You know, mm-hmm. I'm lucky. I don't know that I'm lucky. I don't have any kids, so I really just have to take care of myself. I'm not sure if that's luck or idiocy, but
that's next week's talk theater.
We had a great conversation at a Northwestern round table when their MFAs were graduating, and we were all, you know, talking about all the good things that people could do. And at one point, Sean Graney, I hope he doesn't mind me invoking his name, spoke up and he said, "You know what? I don't want to be blowing smoke up these people's asses. This is hard and it sucks sometimes."
Yeah.
And it, you know, and it will make you feel like you don't ever want to walk in the theater door sometimes. And that's probably happens to, you know, and I've been in that place. I mean, yeah. I probably had something to do with where he was that week with something going on. And Mary Zimmerman asked a really interesting question, you know, because we started having this debate about whether it's glorious or whether it's dread, you know, all toil. And she said, she said, how many of all of us professionals sitting here in this circle have families? And two of the 20 people sitting there raised their hands. So this is a reality that people need to think about walking in. And
yeah.
Not that. It's not a rule. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. But in order to bring this back to interning, doing an internship at a mid-level or even a small theater company where you are going to try everything from selling an ad to the restaurant across the street to getting the marketing up on Facebook to getting the contracts written for such and such and reading a play, you know, is a really, really good way, even just being a fly on the wall, I think, in a company like that or in an administration like that, would be a really good way for you to get a handle on whether you could do it, whether you feel passionately enough to push into that.
Yeah. And just to see for yourself the reality of the difference between what you thought it was and what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge.
I guess maybe one last thing that we can talk about. I mean, people go to theater school. They go to grad school and they get BAs and BFAs in theater and they cost money. And then they get out and this is the world. This world that we're talking about is the one that they enter into.
Right.
I'm 15, 16, 17 years out of school and I haven't made a dent.
Yeah.
I'm still deferring things. And, but that's, one of the realities is that you have to have a job. I guess I had a teacher say to me real early on when I was an undergrad, they said, you need to pick a city. And when you move there, you know, and decide that that's where you want to be, the first thing you have to do is get a roof over your head and a way to pay for it and eat. And that probably won't be in a theater or a film or you will need to find something that you like enough to do for a while or can tolerate enough or maybe permanently, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That is flexible enough and will allow you to jump off for auditions or go, you know, that's a forever balancing act for artists, I think in general, probably. But especially in the performance world.
I think that's a huge, massive question in all of arts training.
Yeah.
I think there are major questions about what are the promises that training programs are making to their students.
Yeah. Yeah.
And are there any? I think that there's a different ethic between a conservatory and a non-conservatory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a weird thing because we ask people at 18 years old to make choices that will influence the rest of their lives. Maybe not fully determine their track forever, but certainly influence everything else they'll ever do ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that we're ready to do that. At 18 years old.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't know, maybe we're growing up too slow these days. Maybe that's just our country's soft. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to peel that onion. But I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I think that there is an argument to be made that there's profiteering going on. But
yeah.
But
I still feel very strongly, though, at least in my case, that the education is worth it. If you have to take the loans, that it's absolutely worth it. If that's what you want to do. I also know lots of people who don't have that piece of paper and don't need, you know, and mm-hmm. got that, you know, there's lots of different ways to get an education.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strap a backpack on and, you know, go to the other side of the ocean somewhere or the other side of the globe, you know, or just roam around the States.
Yeah.
But that's,
Or intern.
How about that? How about that?
Yeast Nation has previews that start on the...
On the 11th.
On the 11th. And nice. That Mistakes Were Made at a Red Orchid has previews starting on...
On the 8th.
September 8th.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for speaking to us. Kirsten Fitzgerald, Josh Sobel, and Jason Girace. And that's all for this week's Talk Theater in Chicago.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of August 31st, 2009. The Jeff Awards announced 179 nominations in 35 categories for the Chicago Equity Theatrical Productions. The Jeff Award sent judges to the opening nights of 141 productions offered by 57 producing organizations, and from these openings, 98 equity productions became Jeff recommended. The 41st annual Jeff Award ceremony, directed by Michael Weber, will be held on Monday, October 19th at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie. The Second City, celebrating 50 years as a producer, will play a featured role at the Jeff Award ceremony. The Goodman Theater led the list of theaters with 17 nominations, including the new work Ruined, which garnered 6 nominations on its own. The Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook follows with 16 nominations for 5 musicals, including 6 for Miss Saigon and 4 for The Boys from Syracuse. Chicago Shakespeare Theater garnered 13 nominations, while Timeline Theater Company led the list of mid-sized theaters with 12. Among individual multiple nominees, Mary Ernster was nominated as principal actress in a musical for both Marriott's The Light in the Piazza and Appletree Theater's Wings. Versatile triple threat Sean Fortunato was nominated for his roles in Curtains and The Producers. And David H. Bell topped the individual nominees with 4 nominations. That included new adaptation of a musical with The Boys from Syracuse and The Bowery Boys, and as a director of a musical and choreographer for The Boys from Syracuse. For a complete list of the Jeff Equity nominations and podcast interviews with some of the nominees, click on over to theaterinchicago.com. And again, the 41st annual Jeff Awards ceremony will be held on Monday, October 19th at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie. Chicago Shakespeare Theater kicks off its 2009-2010 subscription series with Richard III, William Shakespeare's tale of a brilliant, scheming hunchback who murders and seduces his way to the English throne. The production will be staged by Chicago Shakespeare Theater artistic director Barbara Gaines and will feature Helen Hayes Award winner Wallace Acton in the title role of Richard III. The show is Shakespeare's first great stage success and one of his most enduring works. Richard III has entertained audiences around the world for centuries. Since it staged its premiere back in 1592, With Shakespeare's colleague Richard Burbage in the title role, audiences worldwide had been fascinated by the play ever since. Richard III runs September 23rd through November 22nd at Chicago Shakespeare Theater and will be featured in their Courtyard Theater. Tickets are currently available. To find out how to get the tickets, click on over to Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater here in Chicago. And I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank our guests for giving us the honor of interviewing them this week. I would also like to thank Benno Nelson and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And I would also like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.